us. We skipped over parts of it last week, and I said we would try to catch that part later. So we particularly want to look at verses 21 through 23, because last week we overlooked that. We set it aside because we were focusing on the proofs of the resurrection. But now we want to come back and study this passage. The words of the text were spoken on the first day of the week, the same day Jesus arose, which you saw in verse 19. It was just read for us. After the Lord provided evidence that he had indeed risen from the dead and was alive again, verse 20 that we just read, he again greeted them with peace. He had that as part of his original greeting, and he again says, "Peace be to you." And then he said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." The word used of Jesus is the verb form of the word apostle, apostello, which means to send out or send forth. The word used of the apostles is not the same word as was used of Jesus, but it still has the same meaning, even though the word is separate. The Father sent Jesus to do his will, and he did. Now everything depends on them, and they will fulfill what Jesus has charged them with. This is the first time the Great Commission is mentioned, this very passage in John chapter 20. The next time seems to be in Mark 16, 9 through 20, a week later. And then the third time it is given in Galilee in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And the one that is given in Luke 24, verses 46 through 49, is the one just before his ascension. So the first time is the briefest mention. Jesus sent them. In Mark 16, 16, he elaborates on that a little bit, saying, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." And then the third time is the one that we most often quote, where he mentions not only baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but also teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then the last one, of course, in Luke, takes place just before his ascension. Now we want to notice verse 22 in particular this morning. In John 20 and verse 22, "And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This verse has puzzled many Bible students, but we want to consider it in this context and also in the remote context of all of the scriptures. And when we do that, it will, I think, make sense. Why did Jesus breathe on them? God's breath gives life. Let's take a look at Genesis 2:7. I know everyone is probably familiar with this verse. "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." But let's also go to Ezekiel chapter 37 and notice verses 1 through 6. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. He gave life to Adam by breathing into him the breath of life. He restored life to a dead nation, and he also is able to impart life into the new covenant, which, when taught properly, would give life to all who accepted the gospel, bringing about the forgiveness of sins, which he talks about in verse 23. What Jesus says here to the apostles is prospective rather than immediate. In other words, they do not immediately receive the Holy Spirit. This will not be fulfilled until the day of Pentecost. Man was created and given life by the Creator, as we've already noticed. The gospel is going to give to people new life as new creations. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Also, Romans 6, 3 through 5 talks about obeying the gospel, which is an imitation of the death of Christ on the cross for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection. The gospel is a life-giving message. It's a life-giving message. Some think that Jesus actually gave the Holy Spirit at this time, but there are good reasons for thinking that it was later on the day of Pentecost. Everyone has noticed, and we'll come back to that thought in just a moment, but everyone has noticed the similarities between Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice that just as God gave life to the world, and especially to man, he also gives spiritual life to those who obey the gospel. Let's take a look at John 1:4. It's been a while since we were there. You may have forgotten this. John chapter 1 and verse 4. Right after we read the introduction concerning Jesus being the Word, and verse 2 saying, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Notice verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus possesses life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, we find a verse that is pertinent to that thought. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Truly, in Jesus is life. Now let's look at what happened at Pentecost. A few commentators will argue that the apostles had already received the Holy Spirit, that is, immediately in John chapter 20. But there are two reasons why that is not so, and why they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. If not, Jesus contradicts himself, because he has said that the Holy Spirit has not yet been given. And we know from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that they actually received it on that day. Let's take a look at that passage. Acts chapter 2, beginning with the very first verse. There was going to be a time when that promise of the Holy Spirit was going to be received, and it was not at this point, but at Pentecost. Not in John chapter 20, but in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so that is when we know of a certainty that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying to them and breathing on them in prospect of that particular day. Second, they did not know everything yet. When they had the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised them that he would guide them into all truth. But in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, they did not yet know all truth. In verse 6, we asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he answered, "It is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put under his own authority." Now they would find out not too many days hence, but they did not yet know all things. So it came upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, the knowledge came upon them at the day of Pentecost and not prior to that time. The Holy Spirit was received by them, and through the Holy Spirit, they would receive forgiveness of sins. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 36. Acts 2, beginning with verse 36. Now, up to this point, Peter has preached to them the things concerning Jesus that they needed to know, that he had been raised from the dead. And then he repeats in verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Some translations have forgiveness, some have remission. It's the same word that most of the time is translated forgiveness. Forgiveness is tied into salvation. It's tied into their having received the Holy Spirit and communicated the truth of the resurrected Christ to the multitude. So, remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now we're going to come back to that in just a few moments, but there are some other things that need to be declared concerning what we're studying. The message of God came through the apostles. We know the truth about Christ. You know, about every 3 months, it seems like, or every year, there's a new book on the market, something like The Secret Sayings of Christ, or something along those lines. You don't have to wonder if there's anything out there. We know the truth. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. They declared all truth. We know the truth about Christ. There's not anything written anywhere that is going to add more to what we know. Now, we may discover more as we read the scriptures, but it's already there. It's already been revealed. It just many times is waiting for us to find it and discover it and apply it. You know, some would later write down not only secrets of Christ, but so-called secrets given to the apostles. I think there's an old apocryphal book called The Secret Sayings Jesus Told Thomas. No. Jesus said what? "I have spoken openly. Everything that I have taught openly." John chapter 18 and verse 20 that we just looked at recently. John chapter 18 and verse 20. When they asked him about his doctrine, Jesus said, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing." There are no secret sayings to Thomas or anybody else. We have all truth given to us by the apostles. Peter said so. In 2 Peter 1:3, where we read that all things pertaining to life and godliness have been given to us. So you need not fear that you've missed out on something. Just read the scriptures and you'll have everything that God wants you to have. Pentecost is the beginning of the apostolic word. Jesus had taught them, the apostles. They would be teaching others henceforth. And that begins on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But now we've already hinted at this, but let's look again at verse 23 from John 20. "If you forgive the sins of any, they have already been forgiven. Or if you retain the sins of any, they have already been retained." I think that was the way it is. Some versions have that. Some have it more in the present tense. But the way it was read in the scripture reading this morning is actually probably the best translation of that. But we want to consider that the forgiveness spoken of here is not that of the apostles personally forgiving someone or not forgiving someone. It's not a personal thing. The forgiveness comes through the gospel, which the Holy Spirit revealed through them, as we just saw in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, for the forgiveness of sins. Those who obey the gospel have forgiveness of sins. Those who do not have the forgiveness of sins. Let's also take a look at Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, which is somewhat parallel to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Beginning in verse 17, having again recounted how the Jews had crucified Christ, Peter says, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as also did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that at times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Salvation is about forgiveness of sins. So Jesus breathed on them and in prospect gave them the Holy Spirit, which they actually received on the day of Pentecost, which then allowed the apostles to preach the gospel, which then allowed people to have forgiveness of sins. And that is the substance of John 20, 21 through 23. The gospel given by the apostles, by the Holy Spirit, involves the forgiveness of sins. Now, just for a few moments, we want to talk about the importance of Pentecost. Since the Holy Spirit makes forgiveness available through the gospel, it is important to see what that gospel is. And so we want to go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We want to go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And notice again, they asked the question, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Peter has convinced them through the scriptures that they have crucified the Son of God. Naturally, you can imagine how that would make you feel. We did what? We thought he was just some kind of misleader. We were told that we shouldn't listen to him. We were told not to pay attention to the miracles that he had done. Our leaders, those who rule Israel spiritually, told us that he was an imposter and that he needed to be crucified because he was a blasphemer. And we went along with them. And now you have shown us that we were wrong. You have shown us that we crucified the Son of God. Men and brethren, what shall we do? How do you undo something like this? You can't. There is no way to undo it. There is no time travel that takes you back and say, you know, a week, and this time we're not going to do it. You know, there isn't anything like that. They had made the mistake. The damage was done, but also the good was accomplished when Christ arose from the dead. So it can't be taken back. We can't undo it. What do we do, men and brethren? What do we do? And the answer to that is what? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Repenting not only includes sorrow, it goes way beyond sorrow. It means a change of life, a turning. The word repent actually has the concept of turning in the word. You turn from one way of life to another. You turn from the kind of thinking that caused you to crucify an innocent man to the kind of thinking that says, "How can I serve him?" So that's repentance. And then being baptized is for the purpose of joining in his death. Let's note, we mentioned earlier Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5. Let's turn over there and read it. Beginning with verse 3, Paul writes to Christians, reminding them of some things, and here's what he reminds him of. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. All right? This is what Peter's asking them to do on Pentecost, to be baptized. Paul is saying, you were buried with him when you were baptized into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, that's where the burial comes in, our repentance causes us to die to self. Jesus died physically. We die to the old physical person, are buried, and then are raised up again as Christ was. We are buried with him through baptism into death. We've been joined together in the likeness of his death. We shall certainly be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. This is what Peter is asking them to do on the way of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. Paul explains that to those who had already been baptized to remind them, but this is what Peter is asking them to do. There is no new life without obeying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the imitation of it. There is no new life without doing that. This is the significance of the day of Pentecost, where that was proclaimed, to repent and be baptized in order to have forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed on them. They were given in prospect the Holy Spirit, which would come on them on the day of Pentecost, which would allow them to preach the Word of God to people who had crucified Jesus and convict them of their sins and make them ask the question, what shall we do? And the answer is to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, as we read in John chapter 20 and verse 23. This is about forgiveness. The giving of the Holy Spirit is about the giving of the Word so that people can have forgiveness of their sins. Now, this is really important that we understand this fully. Faith only is not a Pentecost doctrine. Peter did not say, all you have to do is believe. He did not say that. That's what people are saying today. It is not in the New Testament. It is not on Pentecost. It's not a Pentecost doctrine. It was made up years, even centuries later, by others, but it is not in your Bible. It is not in your copy of the Scriptures. Repentance and baptism are a Pentecost doctrine. This is the day that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they made all of this known. This is the day we really need to look at closely, and faith only is not a part of that day. But repentance and baptism are a part of that day. That's part of the revelation that allows people to have forgiveness of sins. Faith only is not a part of forgiveness of sins. Now, once we are saved, we have assembly obligations. A sign out front, are you building a spiritual future? Some assembly required. You have assembly obligations. You do not just get salvation and that's the end of it, and now whatever you do won't make any difference or affect your salvation. That's also a false doctrine that is taught by many. No, notice the very first thing that we read after those 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 42. And they, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Where did they keep that? How did they keep that? Continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine by meeting as the church. And we find from this point on that brethren met in the assembly as the church. We have obligations. And one of the first obligations is to grow as a child of God once we are baptized and have forgiveness of sins that God has given to us. And then there is a second obligation. We become the sent. Jesus said, as the Father sent me into the world, it's where we started out this morning, so I send you. Well, let's notice Matthew chapter 28, the great commission given in Galilee. Notice what he says. All authority, verse 18, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What's the last thing he just commanded them? To go and make disciples and to teach. We are the sent. We are those who have the obligation to go into all the world and to keep this process going until the Lord returns. Those are our obligations, and we get that by a study of what was revealed on the day of Pentecost. Have you obeyed that gospel yet? Have you been listening to somebody who says all you have to do is believe or some other message? Go to the Bible and look at what happened on Pentecost when they received the Holy Spirit and communicated in turn the Holy Spirit's message to the crowd. Who obeyed it? 3,000 of them did, as we saw in Acts 2 and verse 41. Have you obeyed that gospel yet? Do you need to study that more? If so, we invite you to do so. But if you're ready, we're ready to help you become a child of God this very day if you have repented of your sins and you're willing to be baptized. If you are already a child of God, have you taken seriously the obligation to be one of the sent? You have it as an obligation, whether you've been fulfilling it or not. If not, you need to repent. If we can help you in either one of these matters, let us know right now while we stand and while we sing.